be there, be quiet, and don't talk to others. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
Hello, this is Mike Kelly. You are now listening to Key Life, where the Bible becomes relevant to your daily life. If you have a Bible, get it. And here is our teacher, Steve Brown.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, you might want to keep it close by. By the way, I appreciate your spending this time with me each day. That's a high and holy privilege. And I kid around a lot, but I take it seriously. And I spend a lot of time studying because I've got the time and you don't. And I know how busy you are. And so I spend the time studying the Bible so I can tell you what I found. And that's what we do on Key Life, and that you would give your time. That's one of the most precious gifts that you can give somebody, and I appreciate your taking your time each day to study the Bible with me. If you have your Bible, keep it there as we go along. I'll be quoting different passages as we continue with our series on God and pain and bad stuff and broken ropes and what should you do. And we're talking this week about what do you do with a friend who is suffering? And we've seen so far that you ought to be there. So often we avoid those who are going through a tough time. We're afraid, man, this may be contagious. I get around them, I'm going to get it too. And then bad stuff's going to happen to me. So be there. We saw in Job 2:11 that his friends were there. And then yesterday, I talked about when you're there, be quiet. People say to me, Steve, I'm going to help Sam, but I don't know what to say. What should I say to him? I'm relieved, because if you don't know what to say, don't say it. That doesn't mean you don't ever say anything, but mostly the best ministry you get people who are going through a really hard time is don't say anything. Just be there. Let them see your tears. When you cry, I ought to taste salt, and that's enough. And then let me give you a new one. We're talking about ministering to people that are hurting. Third, when Job's rope broke, when he went through all his pain, his friends didn't talk behind his back. Throughout the book, his friends said some pretty harsh things. Job was angry. He was ticked at them. And he had every right to be. But the positive thing was that they didn't go out and tell the congregation that Job was this horrible person. They went to Job. What they said to his face, not that they should have even done that, but at least they didn't talk to somebody else. I had a pastor friend who replaced a pastor who was retiring, and after having served some 25 years in the church, my friend was not very popular with his new congregation. After having served the church for almost a year, his wife delivered a stillborn baby, and the congregation started talking behind his back. I'll never forget this. I'll never forget his tears. Man, I would have left. Let me tell you what happened. So, anyway, he'd been there for a year, and people liked the previous pastor, and they didn't like the new one very much. And so when his wife was pregnant and they had a stillborn baby, people behind his back began to say that it was God's judging their pastor for having come to the wrong church. My friend was absolutely devastated. I asked him to let me preach a sermon in that church. He wouldn't do it. He loved them. I still think about him, all right? He loved them. That's probably the reason I'm not a pastor anymore. He just loved them. He said they're sinners, and I'm going to love them. And you know what happened? God changed that situation in an amazing way. Listen, when our friends are suffering, we fear that the same thing will happen to us. In an attempt to comfort each other, we often issue lines like, Sam never was very committed. God is chastening him. We need to pray for him. Everybody agrees, and everybody feels better. Sarah was a flirt, and it always hurt her husband. Now God is balancing the books, and it'll teach her a lesson. Everybody agrees, and everybody feels better. It's a tragedy, but we know that Bill asked for it in the way he was living. If he'd only heeded God's word, if he'd only tried to be obedient, this never would have happened. Everybody agrees and everybody feels better. Don't you do it. Be there, be quiet, and don't gossip. Let me tell you something else. Now, these are aside from some of the obvious things that we do when we minister to people who are in trouble, who are going through pain. Those you already know. I'm not going to go over things like that. These are things that sometimes we don't think about. Let me tell you something else that Job's friends did right. They gave Job freedom. They allowed him to express all of his bitterness and his anger. You'll find that some of the most bitter words you've ever heard come out of Job's mouth. Now, we like to quote Job and say, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. And then we make everybody feel guilty by saying, and that's the way you ought to be when you're going through a difficult thing. All right? That works for people who've never read the book of Job. I mean, Job, this is not an example of a man who suffers quietly. I mean, this is a man who is angry at God and angry at his friends and angry at the world and says so. I mean, if you've got your Bible, turn to Job 3:3. That's the third chapter, the third verse, and then verses 10 through 11. May the day perish on which I was born, and the night in which it was said a male child is conceived. Because it did not shut up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hide sorrow from my eyes. Why didn't I die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb? Now, it takes a lot of strength to love somebody enough to listen to that kind of emotion pouring out of a friend. Most folks would have said, whoa, and left. Job's friend didn't. They stayed, they didn't interrupt him, and they listened. I've said this before. There's a ministry of listening to bitterness. It's important when you're trying to keep the needs of someone whose rope has broken or to help them with their needs. I got a letter not too long ago from a young man who paid me a very high compliment. His father had died over a year ago. During the process, he had been his father's primary emotional and physical support. Every time I met him after his dad's funeral, he expressed a variety of problems. Happened so often that I suspected something was bothering him other than the problems he voiced. So one day I said to Jim, have you buried your daddy yet? I thought, what a stupid thing to say. And I looked at Jim, and he exploded. Man, I mean, in fact, his explosion surprised me. What a horrible thing to say, he shouted. I mean, I love my father. I miss him very much. Of course I buried my father. He paused, and I decided to follow the string as far as it would go. In the silence, I said, Jim, why are you so angry at me for asking you that question? Are you angry at me, or are you angry at your father? Maybe you're angry at God. And then he yelled some more. And then you know what happened? He started weeping. Jim, you seem to have suppressed a lot of your anger. You need to get that out in the sunshine, or you're going to die. If you want me, I'll be here as your sounding board. You just call me. And you know what he did? Next day he called me. Said he decided to take me up on my offer. A couple of days later, he came into my study. You know what we did for 2 hours? I listened to him curse. I just sat there. Man, I felt almost dirty. I mean, he poured out some of the worst anger and stuff. Once the trickle began, it got stronger and stronger until it was a flood. His language was coarse. His words were stinging. I wanted to defend God. I wanted to interrupt him. I wanted to say, I'm not going to sit here and listen to this, but I didn't. My friend was angry at everything. He was angry at God for having put him through all that hurt. He was angry at his father for dying. He was angry at his friends for not caring. He was mad at his religion for not giving him the answers he needed. He was ticked at his mother for leaving them. He was angry at his grandmother for telling his mother to leave. And it went on and on. Be perfectly honest, it's hard to sit there. And listen, I wanted to defend God, but I figured I'd just be still, let God defend himself. He was doing fine before I came along. I wanted to defend his friends because I knew some of them, and I knew they weren't as uncaring as he said, but I figured if those friends needed to be defended, they could do it themselves. I wanted to defend his parents, his mother, his past, but with great effort, I just kept quiet. When he finished, he was spent. About a week ago, I got the letter from him. When I saw the return address, I wanted to throw it away, but I opened it, and I found myself reading the words of a different person. Let me quote from that letter. Steve, your willingness to sit there and listen to all that dirt has changed my life. I feel a great burden has been lifted, and I haven't felt this good in years. When I think of all the things I've said to you, I feel a bit uncomfortable, but the good thing is that I know you understand. I kind of felt guilty because I didn't understand it all, but I liked what he said. Not everyone can listen to bitterness, and I don't want to do it often, but when people find their ropes broken, their pain difficult, the wounds deep, they're not rational, they're not clear, they're not loving, somebody's got to allow them to ventilate their anger. Somebody's got to lance the boil. Job's friends did that for him, and even though he didn't understand, it was a wonderful gift that they gave to him. Now, I don't have time to do it, but on Monday, my pastor will come in tomorrow, but on Monday, I want to talk about, since I've used Job's friends and said some good things about him, and they're all dead, so they don't care, so I can talk about them. Shouldn't pick a hero unless he's been dead for 10 years, and shouldn't criticize anybody if they're around to hear it. So what I'm going to do next week is I'm going to show you some of the things that Job's friends did wrong. And we're using it as an example for us as we deal with the pain and the suffering through which our friends go. We need each other, and we need each other bad. So when your friend is hurt, when a brother or sister is going through it, be there. Be quiet. Don't gossip. And give them freedom. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you don't have this booklet that we're offering, Does My Father Know I'm Hurt? This is the last time I'm going to offer it. That sounds like your mother. And this is the last time I'm going to say this. But as long as supplies last, we'll send it to you free. It's a book you might want to give to a friend who's going through a difficult time. They may not be able to read it right then, but it can make a big difference. Or maybe you're going through a hard time. Does My Father Know I'm Hurt? It's free without charge or obligation. Just let me know. You can call 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day. All right, Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida 32794, or Key Life Canada Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario N3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address and ask for Does My Father Know I'm Hurt. And listen, if you could help us financially, you know, and I don't want to manipulate or push, but this is a very hard ministry financially, and when you help us, you help so many others. And you say, I can't send much. Okay, any would be helpful. And for any gift of any size when you request it, I'll send you as my thank you the cassette teaching from Galatians 6, a New Year's examination that you'll find helpful as a measurement without guilt of seeing how you're doing. You charge your gift on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card. Hey, I gotta go, but first, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.